Arise is a platform where God is raising an army of men that knows God, loves God, and live their lives in the light of God's purpose.
Welcome to Arise Shine Christian Network.
Spirit of the living God tonight, thank you. Thank you. Blessed is the man that you have allowed to approach unto you. You draw us because you love us. Thank you. Thank you for what you have proposed for us tonight. Thank you for your word, your power. Thank you for light. Thank you for light. Thank you for light tonight. The light that streams from your word that change our life. Thank you. Thank you for deliverance tonight. Thank you for healing tonight. Thank you for miracle signs and wonders tonight. Thank you for enlightenment tonight. Thank you for illumination tonight. For our eyes shall be open, and we shall see that which we ought to see. And as we see, as we behold, we'll be transformed tonight. Thank you for our brethren who are following online. Thank you for the same experience which streams to them wherever they are listening and watching right now. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for transformation. We give you the praise, Lord. Tonight we say, have your way. Do it your way. In the name of Jesus, we vow to give you alone the glory. In Jesus' precious name we are praying. Amen. Reach out to somebody by your side and just give him a big hug. If it's same sex, if it's not same sex, just shake the person and say, God bless you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And then you may be seated. I'm really excited with the series that we are going to be starting tonight. I have waited for this day, and now finally it has come. And I trust that the Lord will open our eyes and speak His word to us tonight. I left here on Thursday with a burden in my heart by what the Lord communicated with us on Thursday. And I got to my prayer place early on Thursday morning. That was on Wednesday. But on Thursday morning when I got to my prayer place, I went there with that heavy burden. And for the first time, I pleaded with the Lord that you would not let me pray for Ibadan today. You would let me pray for your people, the rising nation. And I began to pray. I found myself crying at the moment. And the Lord began to speak unto me and began to make me understand some things that, you see, if you were here on Wednesday, you would understand what I'm talking about much better. Sometimes you try everything you know to do and then it just does not work. At that time, if you are certified both by God and by the principle of His words that you have done everything as prescribed by the word, what you need to do next is to wait. Also, the Lord opened my eyes to see the other side of the coin. There is a big difference between delay and waiting. They both look alike, unfortunately. They both look alike and they both have the same description. Only that the source of these stuffs and the purpose achieved with each of them differs entirely. Somebody may be here on that Wednesday, and while the Lord was speaking to us and charging us about strength and about waiting on Him concerning what He's doing in our lives, and then console Himself and say, okay, I'm part of the one the Lord is speaking about. Your own might not be waiting. Your own might be a delay. Your delay might be as a result of not learning the laws not paying attention to the dictates, not giving absolute attention to the things that the Lord has proposed to move you forward. That's what the Lord began to share with me on Thursday. That many of us right now, we believe that we are waiting on God, whereas in actual fact, God is waiting on you. It's a terrible thing to believe you are waiting on God, whereas God himself will say, I've been waiting for you all this while. So before you generalize the situation, before, you know, God will always find a way of bringing the balance for us as a family. Before you generalize and say, okay, what is happening to Sister A is also what is happening to me. If Sister A is waiting, let me also wait. You must find out the peculiarity of your situation. Some are delayed by demonic activities. Whereas some are waiting by God preparing them. Some are not even delayed by demonic activities. Some are delayed by lackadaisical attitude, the pay to the word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, give me verse 1 and 2. It's just a burden in my heart. I'll share with us and then we'll begin to consider what we have tonight. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Thank you so much. It's projected. Can we all see? The Bible is projected. I want us to look up as I read from here. It said, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest. You see that now? There's a promise of rest. Let us fear lest any of you seems to have come short of heat. Just a moment. It means, even though rest is available, even though it's a promise that God has made, and God is always committed to every word that come out of his mouth, he said man can fall short of his promises, such that you go everywhere with the promises and the prophecy of God over your life, and they are true speakings of God for your life. You believe you are waiting for time and process to bring them forth, but the Bible says that we can fall short of that promises. How do we fall short? Give me verse 2, sir. He said, for indeed, now he's about to tell us how we fall short. He said, for indeed, the gospel here does not only mean preaching Jesus as salvation. The gospel here is the prescription of the scripture for every situation of our lives. Are we together tonight? So the gospel is the prescription, God's prescription for the situation of your life. If you are sick, there's a gospel prescribed for sickness that will bail you out of sickness. Are we together tonight? If you are poor, in fact, it is amazing when we begin to consider the law of prosperity, you will see that it is amazing that when Jesus was going to talk about his remedy for poverty, he didn't say give them money, he didn't say miracle, he didn't say business, he said the gospel is preached to the poor. You see that now? So he said that the gospel was preached to us as well as it was preached to them. Now, two categories of people now. The gospel was preached to us as well as it was preached to them. But the word they had did not profit them. Whereas they will be waiting also. Every time they hear the testimony of the bread, they will say, oh, my own is coming. My own is coming. But the Bible is saying that being in the midst of where the word is working does not automatically guarantee that the word will work for you. I don't like to deceive people and give them false hope. I will teach you by his mercy the whole counsel of the kingdom and of the word of God. That you are in the midst of the place where people are sharing testimonies. Oh, I engaged this and I got this. Oh, they said this and it happened. Oh, they promised this and I see it in my life. Does not mean your own is coming. Find out if you have fulfilled all the conditions that makes for delivery before you console yourself that very soon my own is coming. Are we still together tonight? It said the word which was preached to them, which they heard. You see that it's not about they didn't hear it. They heard the word, but it did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith. You see, the difference between the one that has the word works in his life and the one that is just accumulating messages and writing the notes is not presence, it's not availability, it is faith. That two people can be seated in a meeting with the same predicament. And after 2 weeks, one of them already has a change of story. The other person remained there. They were both there listening to the word. They were both there when the preacher was speaking. But being present does not automatically mean having encounter. They heard the word. Just like many of us heard the word. By his mercy, God began to teach us the laws of the kingdom and what will make us to be an outstanding personality on the earth. What will make our prayers to not look, to what will make it not look as though prayer doesn't work anymore. And he has been giving us these laws one by one. For many of you, you have not even heard it. Don't think you have the message if all you have, if the only time you have listened to it is when you were in the meeting. The most intelligent person amongst us will only remember 10% after 48 hours. So that's why the Bible even began. It said, oh, I wish I had time. In the book of Romans, it said, faith comes by hearing. So before we even talk about not mixing it with faith, it said, faith first will come by hearing. That there must be a hearing before faith can come. Faith comes by hearing. Until there is a hearing, I think Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Until there is a hearing, there cannot be faith. And you must watch out. Let me give me that scripture, sir. You must watch out for the two types of hearing that the Bible spoke about there. It says, so faith comes by hearing. The first one is when the one you hear on the general plane. It said, hearing. Don't think God stammers. Once have I spoken, twice have I heard. The first hearing is the general hearing. While you are around, where you were listening, where you were joking. Sometimes you even dozed off, distracted by the jokes. And there are some things, the intricate points that you didn't have time to pick and to receive. That's why he gave you another opportunity. He said, and hearing again. Hearing again now entails the decision and being deliberate. Hearing again entails making sure that this word will not just be an information. It must become a revelation that will push me forward. So, hearing the word here alone and throwing it away is not enough. Sitting down the second time. Every one of them that came out to share testimony today have one thing in common. We listen to the message. The word came forth as an instruction and we engage it. Permit me to tell you, sir, that nothing for something is a scam. Just because you find it in the Bible does not mean it will be real in your life. Forever, oh Lord, your word is settled, not in your life, in heaven. So you must find a technology and a dynamics to download that which is settled in heaven to make it your experience on the earth. We saw in the book of Hebrew where the Bible said that it was prophesied concerning the man that he put all things in subjection. He said, but now we do not yet see all things under his feet. So that means there is an engagement that must come from every man so that you don't labor in vain, so that you don't come here after 5 years and say, this man simply used me. How come my own life now? I have seen people who were close to greatness and were never great. I have seen people who will tell you stories. They will tell you story of men of God. They will tell you stories of great ministries. They will tell you how they started and the path they played there. But 10 years after that story, their life still remained the same again. It is a terrible thing to be where God is and never experience transformation. Jacob in Genesis chapter 28 was present where God was. Activities of angels was going on in that place. But Jacob's life remained the same. He slept in fear, woke up in fear. It was a fugitive running away from Esau. Just because he met God and he saw the activities of angels did not translate into a transformation in his life. No. Because there must be an engagement from your side. And your growth is your primary responsibility. I must tell you again and again, your growth is not my responsibility. I am only a privileged shepherd by his mercy to feed you with the materials for growth, to feed you with the materials, with my alignment with the spirit of the Lord, to bring to you the truth that would make for liberty in your life. Giving you the truth does not equal your liberty. You must engage the truth. I'm speaking this from an heart of burden and passion unto you tonight. Want your life to produce results, but it is not up to God alone. I have nothing to do with your results. Mine is to communicate the dynamics, the principles.
But yours must be, you must engage it. So go back to our scripture. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Verse 1 and 2. Verse 2 now. He said, the word did not profit them because the word was not mixed with faith in their hearts. Not being mixed with faith. So what is faith in this action? Faith in this context simply means the action you take as a result of your believing of the word. So until there is an action, don't expect the delivery. Listen to me again and again. There must be something at the end of every teaching. There must be a new decision you have made. If all you heard was a wonderful rhema word, you will remain the same, sir. There must be a new decision. Okay, the law of death and glory. Okay, now that I know that everything about my life must be submitted to the obedience of the Christ, this is the new decision. I will live for God and for Him alone from now. Okay, the Lord of honor. Okay, I have lived my life carelessly all this while, and I have prayed that God will have mercy on me and restore all the relationship that I lost as a result of my dishonor. But beginning from now, both young and old, male and female, I will live my life communicating honor to men, honor to God, honor to systems, honor to structure. And you begin to do it. The word doesn't work for those who hear it. It works for those who do it. There is a way accumulation of knowledge can make you feel puffy and then your life never go anywhere. I have seen very intelligent people fail in life. Believe me. I have seen very intelligent, self-confident people fail in life. They failed until they got to a place where they would now find people that they can, you know, confide in and say, can I tell you the truth? This thing is not working. Wisdom is justified by our children. Learn wisdom tonight. Another word is coming unto us. You know, I've said this again, and I really mean it. I wish and I'm praying that God will give me this permission one day, where we will shut down teaching for 6 months. And all we're doing is to play back all of the old messages. We'll play one message maybe for 3 weeks. We'll take another. We'll sit down there. We'll just come like this for a meeting. We'll pray. We'll fast. And then we'll play messages again and listen to it again and make new decisions again. Because all of this fresh revelation that the Lord is bombarding us with, we can be so carried away and not chewing it and derive and suck out the benefit that God has in it. Somebody, you don't know the importance of the law of favor now, of the law of honor now, until 5 years' time. Now, it's now left for you, if you have mastered that law, to determine if the door will be open or be shut against you. I'm only going to pray for you tonight that these words will not stand against you in destiny. In the name of Jesus. Tonight, my heart is indicted in good matters. And I'm going to be taking us on one of the new laws that the Lord is unveiling to us. Do I have anybody in the house who could run through quickly all of the laws that we have engaged? We started with what? Okay, let's do a revision. All of us, let's do a revision. We started with what? Number one, the law of death and glory. Number two, the law of transformation. Number three, the law of sound. Number four, the law of what? The law of divine direction. Okay. Number five now, the law of honor. No, that's number six. The law of honor is number six, right? All right, so number seven, this law, as long as you live, born again or not born again, every time you wake up, you are engaging this law. Becoming a master in this law. You know, I said everybody is engaging this law. In fact, not only human beings are engaging this law, animals are engaging this law. Are we together now? Now, becoming a master in this law determines your success in life. Without this law, the law of honor will not even come to be. So I want to plead with you I'm going to try as much as possible to make sure it doesn't go beyond two parts. Because a whole part I'm dedicating to one particular section of it. But let me try and see how far we can go tonight as the Lord will help us. As somebody said tonight, bow down your heads and pray. Lord, I am not a rebel. Let your work work wonder in my life. Let your work work wonder in my heart. Is open. My heart is open. My heart is open.
You are faithful and true, Lamb of God. We worship you, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You are faithful and true, Lamb of God. We worship you.
Pray. Make sure you are praying.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Grant us utterance tonight to communicate the mystery of your kingdom. Let your word come forth with power. Let it pierce our hearts. Set us aright tonight, Lord. May this not be an information. May this be a revelation that will lift up high in destiny. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Amen. Hallelujah. The law of relationship. Hallelujah. The law of relationship. Let's call this part one. Make sure you are jotting either on your phone or on your notes. Make sure you are not just looking around. Make sure you are jotting. The Lord is doing something great in the midst of us tonight. And I like that you pay attention. Every man that lives on the earth, in fact, every being living on the earth, engages this law of relationship. Is somebody with me now? This law is so important that your progress or your stagnation can be determined by your understanding and mastery of this law. The law of relationship. I know the aspect that many of you are interested in, and I've reserved as a decision by God, from God, to make it a whole part, but that will come later in part two. I know that's what you want to hear. The singles and the married, the relationship, marital relationship. Because when it comes to the believer, listen carefully. The only thing we understand by relationship is only relationship unto marriage. So it looks as though little is being said in the body of Christ when it comes to relationship with other aspects. But when you hear, we are going to have relationship talks by your mind. What you are seeing is a boy and a girl, boyfriend, girlfriend, and all that you have there. But that's only one aspect of the relationship that we have as man. And that aspect is also very important. But there are other aspects of your relationship that you must master, even if you are going to succeed in that relationship. Is somebody with me tonight? So let's begin this journey tonight. Are we together now? Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. Genesis 2 and verse 18. Help us, Holy Spirit. We depend on you. Can we read it together now? It's projected. 1, 2, go. You are reading the scripture like you are not excited. This is the series many of you have been anticipating. Or maybe we should share. Okay, let's teach about rapture now. The law of rapture. I know many of you are already scared. Okay, maybe this is going to be the end of my relationship with that guy. I don't know what apostle is going to come up with. Just calm down. You should know that I'm a loving person. I'm kind. I will be soft on you. Don't worry. No, even if it looks like the relationship is not, there's a way we can repair. It's only when we cannot repair that we can throw it away and say, no, this one. Do you understand? So I want us to read the scripture now with a loud and excited voice. Are we together? Is this projected now? All right, please help me with my projector. I can't see anything from here. Can we read together now? 1, 2, go. Read it again. So you notice how it started now. It was God. So relationship was the founder of relationship is not man, it's God. Why? Because the creator understands the creature. He knows that this creature cannot survive by being alone. Remember that the man here is not male figure yet. In this man here is both the male and the female. Are we together now? But the Bible is saying that it is not good that any man, male or female, it is not. Reward of their labor. It's when it comes to laboring, two are actually better than one. It said, verse 3 says, if they fall, one can lift up his companion. Then he leaves a very terrible statement to pay attention to. He said, but woe to him, destruction to him, curse to him that is alone when he falls. By this scriptural proposition, it already means that man was not wired or designed to succeed in life walking alone. Hear me again and again. What I'm sharing with you tonight, if you understand it and master it, this is the only God has to answer the prayer of men. So if you don't understand this law tonight, all of the prayers you are praying, even when the prayers are answered, you will not understand the dynamics of taking delivery of the prayers. This is the reason why many are still stagnant. They have prayed to God. God has released the package that they asked for, but they did not discern that, just like my great teacher will always say, that God will always, all of the resources, all of the blessings will always come from God through men to men. So they pray to God and all they are expecting is God will do it. So they did not master the act called relationship. They said, woe to that man who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. This is the reason why many are stagnant in our days. This is the reason why many are struggling in our days. Let me tell you one truth, sir. The only and the major way to be lifted in this kingdom is by men helping you up. You are where you are now, and what you lack is not God. What you lack is not the ability to pray. What you lack is somebody to lift you up. The journey of man is easy when there is another to lift him up. The journey of man is smooth when there is another that is lifting him up. Every man you see in our world today, either born again or not born again, who is doing exploits, who is looking like a superstar, believe me, they had people behind them who lifted them at a point in time. We are in this country, and we know there was a time a particular presidential candidate contested for 3 times but could not get access to presidency until another man formed another group and began to lift this person up. The same person that was rejected 3 times now was accepted by the 4th time. Your success, your lifting, the answer to the prayer is always at the mercy of relationship. Verse 12, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Let me read verse 12 now. It said, though one may be overpowered. You see, the Bible is giving you all of the description that is inherent in the nature of man. If you can give me NLT, I'll appreciate it. It's giving you the description of the flaws, the weakness, the frailness, and the limitation that exists in the man. The strongest of man will still need help. It said, one can be overpowered. one can be overpowered, except by another. He said, but two can withstand him. Two can withstand him. The battle is fierce when you are the only one facing it. Life is hard when there is no man to help. Things are difficult when there is nobody to lift you up. Life becomes easy when you rise on the wings of relationship. Can I tell you something up front? You are as strong as your relationship. You are as influential as your relationship. You are as rich as your relationship. You may not have cover in your pocket, but if you have wealthy people surrounding you, you are still a rich person. He said, when one falls, there is no other to lift him up. He said, woe be to that man. He said, but when there are two people, he said, two people cannot be overpowered. He said, and the threefold cord is not quickly broken. He said, three are even better. You see what the Bible is saying now. If I am alone, he said, woe be to that man, because he cannot do so much. He said, when he finds another that joins him, he said, he has some level of advantage. He said, if he finds another person that makes them three, he said, that is a great advantage. That he suggests to me that the more you have people surrounding you, the more you have advantage to defeat the vicissitude of life. Are you with me tonight? Proverbs 14, verse 28. Let's look at the scriptures and then we'll begin to dive into it tonight. Proverbs 14, 28. Thank you. It's projected now, I believe, with you also there. With a loud voice, can we read it together now? One, two, go. Read it again. Read it again. Next one. Look at what the Bible is saying. It didn't say with the presence of the crown is the king's honor. It didn't say with Babariga Amalagbada and drums all around him is the king's honor. It said in the multitude of people. In the multitude of people. In the multitude of people. That means the more people you have with you, the more honor you have with you. This is why God wants multitude to come to the kingdom. Because the more people come to the kingdom, the more honored God will be. If there are 10 believers in Ibadan, there will only be 10 people who will lift up the name of the Lord. But when they increase to 10 million and to increase to 20 million, that means God has 20 million representatives in Ibadan. In the multitude of people, no matter what you have, if you lack men, you will fail. Hear me again and again. This is a strong teaching. I came with burdens because I see that believers, we don't understand so much on these subjects. We have done well with prayer. We have done well with fasting. But when it comes to mastering relationship, believers are the most frail. We don't understand how to keep and sustain profitable relationship. And that's why many of our prayers look unanswered, because your prayer point is always in the hand of someone. In the multitude of people, in the multitude of people is the king's honor. Our politicians understand this law so well that they will pay money for people just to be present at their campaign, because they know as other people view them from outside and see numbers of people gathered, it sends a sense of success that, oh, it looks like this guy is widely accepted. In the multitude of people. So a king can have the staff of office. A king can have the crown upon his head. Can be seated on the throne. If there are no people surrounding him. Bible says that that's the shame of the king. So also it is. This is why every time I have the privilege to come here and stand before you, you don't know how happy I am. Because it's a privilege. What is an apostle without people listening to him? With all of your rhema, with all of your anointing, and there is nobody placing demand on the grace of God on your life. There is no leader if there are no followers. In the multitude of people. Let's read the last scripture and then we'll begin to fire. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. Please, for this one, prepare for me New King James, Passion and Message in that order. Thank you so much. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. It's projected. Are you ready to read now? One. Okay, let me read this one. You read the Passion. Are we together now? Let me read this one for you. He who walks with wise men will be wise. I want you to have a meditative approach to the Word of God. Don't just read it. Think about it. It didn't say he who reads many books is a wise man. It didn't say he who goes to school, I'm not against all of those things, is a wise man. It said he who walks with wise is a wise man. Give me that scripture, please. He who walks with the wise is a wise man, or will be wise. He said, but the companions of fools will be destroyed. You notice the difference between the wise and the fools that will be destroyed. It talks about their company. I've said it here before, and I will keep telling you that you always look like your company. You are a reflection of your association. He who walks with the wise will be wise. The companions of fools, the people who walks with the fool, he may not be a fool himself, but for keeping company with the fool, he said he will experience destruction. Give me the Passion translation now. The Passion. Are we all together now? I want us to read it. One, two, go. With a loud voice. Think about this word. If you want to grow in wisdom, give me the scripture, sir. If you want to grow in wisdom, walk with the wise. Spend time with the wise. Don't cry. Don't shout. You want to grow in wisdom, I advise you, go and spend time with the wise. Because there is a conditioning that happens in the midst of the wise that implicates you into their wisdom. You want to grow in wisdom, spend time with the wise. You want to become a smoker, spend time with smokers. You want to grow in poverty, spend time with the poor. This is the universal law of the kingdom. You want to enter into wealth, spend time with the wealthy. You want to be successful in life, spend time with those who are successful. Because you are as strong as your relationship. Is somebody with me tonight? What is relationship? Let's begin our journey tonight. Okay, give me the message. Let's see what message said. Message. Become wise by walking with the wise. What's the last line? Loudly. It's a simple law. I don't know why this is happening to me. He already told you. Hang out with the fools and watch your life fall into pieces. It's a law of the kingdom. Become wise by walking with the wise. Hang out with fools and watch your life fall into pieces. So your relationship has so much to do with your life. Your relationship can even determine where you will end up in life. Your relationship is very powerful. It can decide your destiny. It can decide your journey. It can determine how far you will go in life. Your relationship. What is relationship? Relationship is a state of being connected or associated with a thing, a place, or a person. Let me take it again. Relationship is a state of being connected or associated with a thing, a place, or a person. So first, relationship talks about being connected or being associated. You cannot say you are in a relationship with someone that you are not associated with. You cannot say you are in a relationship with someone that you are not connected to. For there to be a relationship, there must be an association. There must be a connection. Is somebody still with me tonight? Let's look at examples from the scriptures of relationship. Is somebody said tonight? Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Let's read from verse 1 to 4. And then please prepare chapter 13 and 5 to 6 so that we can flow together. It's projected. Can we all see it? Now the Lord said to Abram. The Lord said to who now? Are you with me now? Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. The Lord said to who now? The Lord said to who now? Abram. Verse 2. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. To who now? With a loud word, to who now? Verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To who now? Shout it loud. To who? So this promise is to a man called Abraham. Give me the next verse. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Read the next line with me. 1, 2, go. Did the Lord speak to Lot? But Abraham had the voice of God. The promise was customized to Abraham. The Bible did not say, and God said, Abraham, I'm speaking to you and anybody that goes out with you. Mm-mm. The Lord spoke to Abraham, and Abraham took step as a result of the speakings of God. We now see another man whom the Lord did not speak to directly, but began to engage something. Give me that scripture again, sir. The Lord spoke to Abraham, and the Bible says, and Lot went with him. Lot went with Abraham. Lot went with Abraham. God did not give Abraham that instruction. God did not give Lot that instruction. But God gave Abraham. And Lot was wise and foolish enough to follow the man that God has spoken to. Give me the scripture again. We are still on that scripture. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. God spoke to Abraham. Abraham took his journey. Chapter 13 now. And verse 5 and 6. Chapter 13. Give us verse 5 and 6. Remember how the story started. Abraham was minding his business. Lot was his neighbor, a cousin. And they were both there. It was not only Lot that was there. There were people that Abraham shared that encounter with. And they said, how can you be so stupid? Where is the God that spoke to you? They said, the God of heaven. Which God of heaven? You are stupid, oh God. Maybe you are losing your mind. There are people that had that story with him, but that didn't move them. But there was a man that had that story and said, oh God, you said God spoke to you. God has not spoken to me, but wherever you go, I go. Look at what happened to that man. Chapter 13 now. And Lot also, don't forget, who is Lot now? Who went with Abraham? What happened to him? Had flocks and herds and tents. Wait a minute. God did not speak to Lot. God did not promise Lot any blessing or prosperity. God had no covenant with Lot. But Lot associated himself with a man that had covenant with God. And as God was blessing the man, God was blessing Lot. Can I tell you the truth, sir? There are people in life that are on the platform of greatness in our generation. Not because God spoke to them directly. They had a man said that God spoke to me, and they said, wherever you go, I will go. I always wonder every time I add our father, Bishop David Abioye, that's the first vice president of the Living Faith Church, working with our father, Bishop David Oyedepo. Every time you hear that man, he said, God did not call me to ministry, God called Bishop Oyedepo, and I decided God told me to follow him. And everything Bishop Oyedepo has touched in his life, Bishop Abio has also touched. A typical example of what happens to men that follow men of covenants. God spoke to Abraham. Lot went with him. Give me that scripture again. That chapter 13. And Lot also who went with Abraham. Lot, who went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. Imagine their opera, flocks and herds and tents. The Bible did not give us any account of Lot leaving Haran with any of these things. But by the time we will look at his story, a couple of years after then, his life began to produce the very thing that is upon the man that he follows. Can I tell you, sir, that your company determines what accompanies you in destiny. The company you keep can determine what accompanies you. You were successful until you began to work with certain men, and your life went down almost immediately. This is the undoing of many families. Things were working well between the husband and the wife until the wife began to keep company with another woman that had broken relationship, and without anything, that atmosphere began to implicate her also. Now the husband began to nag. Now the wife also, issues began to happen in the house. Lot, which went with him. Give me verse 6. Now the land was not able to support them. Now the word support there does not mean the land is fighting them. It means the land could no longer contain them. Are we together now? The land could no longer contain them. Why? That they might dwell together. For their possessions were so great. Not for his possession, not for Abraham's possession, their possession. By this account, it simply means everything happening in Abraham's life by covenant was happening in Lot's life by association. You see that now? Everything Abraham was tapping, everything Abraham was receiving by his covenant with God was happening in Lot's life by his connection to Abraham. It baffles me. If you are connected to certain grace, and I looked at that grace, and everything seen in that grace is not replicating in your life, check your connection. Something is wrong. There are flocks. Lot also, a nobody of yesterday. I can imagine people laughing at Lot and saying, you are stupid. Even if your elder brother is stupid, must you be stupid with him? He said he's going to somewhere. They have not even shown him the place. It's a spirit speaking to him. You were so foolish that you want to go with him in this foolishness. He said, if he's foolish, let us be foolish together. But he has proven that he's not foolish. Give me that scripture again, sir. That they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could no longer dwell. They could not dwell together. They could no longer dwell together. And Lot made the greatest mistake of his life. And that mistake, you have heard the stories again and again. Lot said, let there be a separation between you and I. Lot has lived with Abraham so long. He has experienced that blessing so long. He had become so used to that blessing that he has forgotten that he's only blessed because he's connected to a man of covenant. And Lot departed from Abraham. And the next story we heard of Lot was that Lot has went down, reduced to almost nothing. Lot left the place he went to with nothing, nothing to his possession. In fact, Lot lost his wife, lost his children by dissociating from the covenant connection that God gave him. If you are still with me tonight, say amen. The company that God brings you into most of the time will determine how far and how well you will do in life. Hear me again and again. Your life can be on a pedestal of success until the wrong person comes into your life. And you immediately be noticing that things began to change and began to turn the wrong way. Check your company. Whereas certain people also have seen this happen again and again, especially in Living Faith Church, Winners Chapel, where I worship by God's mercy. I have seen men who are not even righteous by every standard of righteousness. They smoke, they drink, they womanize. They don't even believe in tithing and the things the man of God is teaching. But there is a covenant of prosperity upon the Winner's Chapel. They will come to church and gist outside. Yet, by the covenant of prosperity upon the bishop, Papa Bishop Oyedepo, you will see them prospering and sharing testimony. Saul was not a prophet, but Saul came into the company of prophets. What happened to Saul? He began to prophesy. Elisha was a farmer. Elisha simply met a man called Elijah. Elisha was not part of the sons of the prophet, but he began to walk with a man that carried the mantle, prophetic mantles to the nation. And after a while, we see that mantle replicated in double fold upon the man called Elisha. Whoever told you that your relationship does not matter to your success deceive you. Walk with the fools and watch your life fall into pieces. Many of us, after this teaching, there are certain friendships that you have to end. So the first example we see from the scripture is Abraham and Lot. Second example, Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. Is God blessing us already?
Yeah.
Jonah chapter is a very long reading. We are reading all the way to verse 15. So life givers, may the Lord strengthen you. Please walk with me. It's projected now. I want you to look at it. Don't forget the story of Abraham and Lot. Abraham was the Lord that God called, was the one that God called and gave promises to. Lot simply associated with him. And the Bible says everything that was happening in the life of Abraham, the prosperity, the increase, was also happening in the life of Lot. They were both increasing and advancing until the land could no longer support them. Now let's look at Jonah again. Jonah 1, beginning from verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Next verse, sir. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Where did the Lord ask Jonah to go? Nineveh. Is it too big? Nineveh. Say it. So good. But where did Jonah went to? Tarshish. Yes. I wanted to know if you are following. But Jonah arose and flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa. I'm not done with that verse. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. Pay attention to the next line. I didn't see it until the Lord was preparing this message with me. And he opened my eyes to see. Look at the next thing he said. So he paid the fare. Many would have missed that place. But the Lord said, look at this. I sent him to Nineveh. And if he had gone where I sent him, I would have paid the fare. Now that he refused to go where I sent him, do you notice that it was Jonah that paid his own fare? Let me advise somebody here. Maybe the reason why you have been trying to finance that business and bankrolling it, getting loan everywhere, accumulating and trying your strength, might be that God is not even the author of that business in the first place. When God sends you, he backs you. He said, when I sent you out without pot, without pocket, without anything with you, he said, did you lack anything? So God cannot send you and not allocate his resources towards you. Give me the scripture again. That's just a by the way. He said, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I can imagine Jonah. Is it because I'm where you can talk to me? I will go to where your network is not available. I wish you had read this, the Psalms of David. Where can I hide from you? You can imagine a man saying, you are talking to me in Jerusalem, Abby. I will go to Afghanistan. I know your presence is not there. So you went. Bible says he paid this fare. Watch this. And he went down into the cabin and sat down there to go to Tarshish where the presence of the Lord is not. Give me the next verse, sir. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. Now let's do a little correction because we are New Testament believers. God did not send out the wind. I've taught you as a family before. Please work on this background sound on the camp, please, light givers. I've taught you before that all of the Old Testament folks did not have the privilege of the knowledge of God and the difference between the activities of God and of Satan. So you see scriptures like God kill it and make it alive. Until Jesus came, we they have believed that scripture that God actually is a killer. Are we together now? But Jesus came and told us in John chapter 10 and verse 10. He said, it is the thief that cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So that scripture, and Jesus is the perfect revelation of God. Are you with me now? That scripture immediately suggests to us that whatever, whoever wrote that God kills must have seen from a dicey perspective. This is another scripture of such. It said God sent out a wide wind. Let me tell you what happened in this case. Every time you disobey God, you are exposed to the attack of the enemy. I taught you here again and again that there are three ways, that three channels that gives the enemy access into the life of any believer. Three channels give the enemy access into the life of any man. If you lack any of these three, no matter, even if you are dancing before the devil like this, it cannot come close to you. Number one access point is disobedience. You remember? Number two is ignorance. Number three is covenant. If any of these things is not existing in your life, do whatever you want to do on the earth, the devil will never have access to you. But we can see from the story of Jonah now. Jonah disobeyed the Lord, and the next thing that happened was that the devil now took advantage of the wind. And there was a mighty tempest wind on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Because of who now? Remember, it was not Jonah alone that was in the ship, but this was happening because of Jonah. Give me the next verse, sir. Let's run through it quickly. Then the mariners, that means the passengers, were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw his cargo in the ship into the sea. These are business people who were traveling from Tarshish. They have gone to buy goods in Tarshish, and they have loaded the ship with their goods, and they enter and pay their fares. They are going to their different locations, going to Tarshish from their different place where they have come to buy goods. But suddenly, the wrong person step into their ship. Can I tell you, sir, that many of the loss we have experienced in our life is as a result of the wrong person in our life. When the enemy looks at you so well, you have not disobeyed the law of God. You are not in ignorance. You are not having any covenant that can give him access. The next thing the enemy can do is to bring a man that has broken one of this law to be your company. You can suffer what your neighbor. You can suffer. You can be a co-laborer. You can partake of somebody's suffering just by associated with him. This is so true, sir. Many families began to enter poverty because the wife stepped into some wrong things. Business that is working for the man who has been working, but the wife can go and touch something outside, and that will become the beginning of the doom of the man. The man also can dabble into some things through ungodly friendship and some ungodly association, and the wife will be suffering the repercussion of it. Let me tell you how powerful relationship is. If you ask me, Apostle, can I come to your house? And I say no. If you ask my wife, can I come to your house? And she say yes. Do you know you can still legally come to my house? Why? I said no. But somebody who is also a stakeholder in that house said yes. Imagine that it was poverty saying, can I come to your house? And the head of the house said no in the name of Jesus. But the woman, through alignment, said yes to it. That will still come into that family, and the man will still partake of that evil that has been allowed by the woman. This is not only restricted to marital relationship. You can fail if you walk with a man that has a judgment of failure upon him. You can go into business that should succeed by all means, but because you are in that business with the wrong person that already has the curse upon him, that business will not progress and succeed. I have gotten involved in people's life before, and I got repercussion for getting involved in their life. Even as a man of God, I have gotten feedbacks before, and I trace it by spiritual intelligence and discover, oh, it was as a result of this one. Lord, what is the remedy? And he will give me another formula to exempt myself from that. Relationship is so powerful. Give me the verse, the scripture again. They began to throw their cargo, which was in the ship, into the sea to lighten the load. They thought the problem was, oh, okay, maybe the ship is too heavy. Let's lighten the. They were losing their stores. Watch this story. Why they were losing their loads, losing their goods, losing all their fortune. Look at what Jonah was doing. But Jonah had gone down to the lowest part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. This is the reason why they are losing all their fortunes. But the man was fast asleep. The man that is the cause for their suffering was fast asleep. Give me the next verse. Then the man. So the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider so that we may not perish. Give me the next verse. So they said one to another, come, let us cast a lot that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. Do you know these guys were intelligent? Do you know that if you were to be this generation with our civilization, we won't have this sense to know that a whole car can crash and everybody will die in that car accident just because of one person? And you say the driver was over speeding. It's not always like that. I don't know how many accidents the Lord has averted just because I step into that car. Because it does not matter what covenant you have with death. I have covenant with life. When I step in for my sake, you are preserved. That's why I always say the presence of the believer in every community is the insurance to that community. If you know your place. Look at what the Bible says. How can you be in that family and things are not working? How can you be in that office and they are not making profits? How can you be in that environment and children are dying? How can you be in that school and things are not going well? Don't you know you are the New Testament Ark of Covenant? The Ark was placed into the house of Obed-Edom. In 3 months, they became richer than the whole nation. Give me the next verse. They casted their lot and they saw. Go back, sir. When they cast the lot, that they may know who, for whose cause this trouble has come upon them. So they cast the lot, and the lot fell on Jonah. Will you tell me that Jonah is not aware that is the reason for this trouble? No. No. Next verse, sir. Then they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? They began to make inquiry now. Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? Look at the intelligent question they are asking. Many of us and many of our families, sadly speaking, we need housemaids, and they just send you one girl from one village and you say, okay, I'll watch my clothes. And from the day that lady entered the house, things began to go away. I said, maybe it's Nigeria. You know, our civilization has robbed us of many intelligence. The business was doing well until you hired one staff in. Whereas in some other cases, the business may be grounded. Somebody came in and things begin to turn around. You are not sensitive to discern the one that came in that caused the business to begin to go high. So you fired him because other people came to tell you something about him. Laban was so intelligent, he didn't allow Jacob go. He said, I have noticed that your presence in this family is making everything to go well. Give me next verse. Give me the scripture, sir. Next verse, please. So they said to him, so he said to them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. It's confessing now. He feared the Lord after people have lost all their properties. And he feared the Lord. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of God. How? Because he had told them. Question: why can't he tell them when he was coming in? "Hey, listen, co-passengers, I'm running away from the presence of God." Can you imagine you being at the park on your way to Lagos, and after you are seated, you paid money, and someone just come and say, "Okay, good afternoon, passengers, pay attention." And they say, "What is he saying?" He said, "Well, just to let you know, there's a sentence of death and accident upon him, and then he's about to enter this canal." What will you do? You are paid. You have paid. You will still run away with your money. Give me the scripture, sir. There's a place I'm going there, and I'll begin to teach again. He said, "And therefore the man knew that he has fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them." Watch what happened then. Next verse. "Then they said to him, 'What shall we do to you that the sea may come for us?'" They were expecting that he would tell them, "Let's go and kneel down and pray." Look at what he told them. "For the sea was growing more temperate." Next verse, sir. "He said to them, 'Pick me up and throw me into the sea.'" Listen, many times when you have a wrong person in your life, the solution is not to pray more. The solution is not to fast more. The solution is not to engage more principle. No matter what principle you engage, 1 million times zero is equal to zero. So he tells them immediately, the only solution, pick me up. Throw me out of your boat. Throw me out of your life. Throw me out of your business. You want to progress? I'm praying as I'm teaching that the Lord will open your eyes to the wrong person in your life, and you will be separated from them in the name of Jesus. Who is that Jonah? That is the reason why your life has been stagnant. Things were working until you had this new friend. Now you have so much friend, you could not even lay your hands on which of them now. But as I'm praying this moment, the Lord will speak to you where you are seated and say, "This person, be separated in the name of Jesus." There were so many people in that boat, so many people in that ship, but the Lord gave them, the first blessing the Lord gave to them was that he opened their eyes to who was the cause. Do you know they could have all been perished in the boat if nobody has gone to wake Jonah up? They would have forgotten that Jonah was there, and the whole ship would have sank. They will lose their goods and lose their lives just because the wrong person. Guess what will happen? Jonah will not die, because the ship, the fish has been programmed to carry Jonah. Many people who are the cause for evil will not partake of that evil. They will just come and say, "Sorry, whereas it's the reason why you are suffering what you are suffering." Humanly speaking, have you seen people who will make calls, loud calls? "Okay, the 5 million, the 5 million is ready now. I even brought it to him." Okay. And when the guy is done, the guy will go out of the house and travel. The armed robber who had him when he was making that call did not know that the guy has traveled immediately. So they will come by night and say, "We had one of you had 5 million." They will beat the living day out of the life of everybody at home. Whereas the cause of the evil had traveled. May you never work with wrong people. Example number 3. Mark chapter 3. Is somebody blessed tonight? Mark chapter 3. Let's begin from verse 13 and then we'll read verse 14. "He went up to the mountain." Jesus now. The Bible is speaking about Jesus. "He went up to the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him." Next verse, please. "And he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach." Watch this. When God became flesh, and we call his name Jesus, and he walked on the earth for an eternal ministry, he could not do it alone. Guess the categories of men that Jesus picked on the earth. He went after the nobodies, the fishermen, the unlearned, those who have been rejected by societies. And the Bible says he called them, and out out of them he chose 12 to himself. These are unlearned people. These are illiterate. These are failures. As a matter of fact, when he met one of them, he met him on the spot of his failure. Peter by name. Peter had toyed all night and caught nothing. With all the skill to fish, with the sea being available, with the net being good, Peter failed in business. Yet, when the master came to him, he didn't talk to him about business. He said, come. There is something that your associator with me can turn you into that is bigger than this fishing business. There is something that can happen to you by your connection to me that is bigger than you laboring to catch fish. Come. And he selected them. Tax, the one that collect tax, the one that is just an apprentice, people who are just nobodies around, and he selected them to himself. But let's watch what happened to them after a while when they have followed him. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Acts 4 and verse 13. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's king. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. Everyone your destiny requires to advance, may there be a supernatural connection tonight in the name of Jesus. Wherever they are, I decree by the word of heaven, in the name of him that made the heavens and the earth, that wherever they are tonight, let there be divine connections in the name of Jesus. Acts 4:13. Peter was a nobody until he met with Jesus. Now let's look at what happened to him after he met with Jesus. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. You see that now. They know their background. They knew that you were... The people in your society now knows that you are from a poor family. They know how poor your family is. They know how rejected and abandoned you have been in your household. But when you meet that destiny connection, something will change, such that your today will no longer look like your yesterday. And I'm decreeing again that may that connection be established for you now in the name of Jesus. History is filled with men who were nobody until they met somebody. Every man you see in our world is riding on the wings of relationship. There is no self-made man in this world. Everyone was made and assisted by somebody. I'm decreeing over you again that whosoever has been assigned by heaven to lift you up in destiny, let there be a divine connection in the name of Jesus. Life is difficult if there is no man to lift you. Life is hard if there is no one to help. Life is difficult when you lack advantageous relationship. Give me the scripture. My heart is very on fire tonight. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they know their past, they marvel and they realize that they have been with Jesus. They looked at their life and they looked at their past. They saw that these two does not look alike anymore. And they remember, these guys have been with Jesus. I'm praying over you that in a couple of months, when people look at your past and they look at your now, they will realize that you have been connected to destiny helpers in the name of Jesus. Anyone walking around telling you I'm connected is a liar. There is a way you know somebody is highly connected. It speaks in their results. I'm connected, though. Don't look at me like this. I'm connected, though. And your life is not showing any of the connection. Somebody standing by the bus stop inside the rain, waiting for a bike. And then a bike man picked me and said, thank you very much. Do you know I'm connected to the governor of this state? He's my brother. In fact, he was in my house yesterday. Will you believe him? People are lousy. They enter a place, they begin to make, and their result is not showing what they are saying. Why relationship? If relationship is so powerful, if God has ordained relationship, why do we need to master this act called relationship? Number one, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18 again. That's number one. Genesis 2 and verse 18. Let's hear from the voice of the one that makes man. Let's hear his comment as touching man, so that we can now judge based on that why we need relationship. Give me the scripture, please. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. God knows that life will be difficult, success will be impossible, ministry will be hard, business will be grounded when a man walks alone. So man is a relational being. That's number one. Why relationship? Because man is a relational being. God made man to associate with others. Have you not noticed that a child cannot come to this world except two people come together and agree? A child cannot be born except two people agree. That's how success is in life. Success cannot be birthed except there are people that agree. Man is a relational being. That's how God made him. A man cannot be indefinitely alone. He will die. Even in prison, there are times they bring them out to relate with each other before they bring each of them back to where they have to belong. Because man is a relational being. Number two, why relationship? You cannot be fruitful in life without relationship. And God gave a commandment. He said, be fruitful. Genesis 1 and verse 28. Be fruitful. But fruitfulness is impossible. In all wise, you cannot be fruitful without relationship. You cannot be fruitful in childbearing without relationship. You cannot be fruitful in finances without relationship. You cannot be fruitful in anything you try to do without relationship. Can I tell you one truth that I've guarded my life so well? People without vision, they will perish. Vision without people, we also die. There is no amount of vision you have. There is no amount of dreams you have about your life and your future when there are not connections, required connections, required relationship around you. You will have your vision, yet you will be grounded in life. Imagine the visions of the Lord and my encounter with Jesus and all of the things he told me. Imagine that is all I had without men. This is why in this ministry, in this movement, my people know that I don't joke with them. All of the workers, all of the team leads, the executives, people serving at one place or the other, they know I'm not out to use them. Because but for them, it would have remained a vision on my vision book. How many people have perished with their vision because there was no man to work with them in vision? Fruitfulness is impossible when there is no relationship. Fruitfulness is impossible. So every time God gives you a vision, hear me, follow me closely. Every time God gives you a vision, the next prayer is, Lord, give me men that will carry this vision. Every time God gives you a vision, you'll catch a rhema, you'll get an information, you'll get a prophecy from the Lord. The next thing is, Lord, give me men that will carry the burden of this vision with me. Because you cannot fulfill your vision alone. It's impossible. If God Almighty could not fulfill the vision of saving humanity alone, as almighty as he is, he needed the womb of a tiny lady called Mary. How dare you think you can walk in life without the assistance of connection that your destiny requires? You cannot be fruitful without relationship. Genesis 1 and verse 28. Number 3. We are getting deeper now. Please pay attention. Somebody is about to be liberated in this place tonight. The easiest way to succeed in life is through relationship. This is very true. This is very true. The easiest way, I've had my teachers teach it again and again. until I came to the knowledge of this and began to experience this for myself in my life. The easiest way to succeed in life is through relationship. Anything you do without the assistance of men will fail. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 5. You remember the story of the man called Lot. Lot did not learn farming. Lot was not an expert in agriculture, but Lot understand association, connection with the one that carried covenant. The easiest way to succeed in life is through relationship. Number four, relationship. While I was listening to one of my teachers a couple of days ago on this subject, he said this and it struck me so well, and I wanted to listen to it again and again. Relationships are currency. They can buy you things, they can buy you people, they can even buy condition into your life. How powerful this is. I have told you again and again that one of the weakest currency you can buy things from is money. Money is the least of the currency you can buy things from. There are certain things that money cannot buy. Now, for instance, you will be learning in a couple of minutes. For instance, do you know that money cannot buy you eternal life? Yet, your relationship with God is what buys you eternal life. How powerful relationship is. Somebody is on his way to hell now. Had money, billions in the account, in dollars, in pounds, in euro, and in all the currencies of the world, but he's on his way to hell now. Not because his money could not buy heaven, but because money cannot buy heaven. His relationship with God that is not in place makes him to lose the eternal place. It will be there for life, because that is how it is. Relationships are powerful. There are certain things you buy things with, certain currency in this kingdom, that if you lack them and you have money, you are still poor. If all you have is money and you don't have this currency, you are really poor. You can buy things with mercy. Yes, sir. You can buy things with favor that money will not buy. There is a place you get to, they don't need your money. How do you buy employment from somebody who is already wealthy? Do you give him money? You already tell him you are the wrong staff to hire. But there is something else that you can have as a currency in the kingdom. It's called favor. Mercy. These are currency you should fight for. These are currency you should pay attention to. That the presence of this currency in your life will not make your pocket lack money. They are the ones that give birth to money. Money cannot give birth to them. Many are rich in money, but they are poor in favor. Relationship. Relationship. There are people who are owners of certain things in this world that money did not buy for them. The car you are saving for to buy for 6 months, somebody will buy that car with relationship. Oh, you mean your son is going to the university? Yes. Ah, okay. I just came back with some cars I want to sell. It's at the car mart. But let him take one of them. Oh, I've been thinking of a car. And that guy will get a car. Not by paying for money. Relationship based for that. Many people are getting jobs in our country. Not most of the time by the eloquency and the volume of their certificates. Many PhD holders are not getting jobs. Whereas there are people right now who are having just ordinary OND and they are getting a job. Relationship. Relationship. Where they reject others, you can stand there and say, I am from so so and so. I say, oh, you stand there. Others, please go, we'll get back to you. And that you get back to you, already know they are not going to get back to you. They will not bring that person. How far is that? I didn't do the interview. You don't need to do the interview. Relationship has done the interview for you. I don't know how many people's story has changed in this country. Not by the school they went to, but by the people they know. Unbelievers, Muslims, understand relationships so well. They don't joke with it. Believers, we fast and we pray. We treat men as baggages of trash. And we keep praying. And things don't change. Relationship can buy things. Relationship can buy you people. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God forbid, if I need to push my car out there now, do I need to run around and call people? No. I can talk to one person there, and that person will go and look for five people and say, no, my car is not the owner of the car. He will say, my car is here. Come and help me to push it. And you see people come and say, your car can, and they will push it. My relationship with him will make him go and bring people for me. Relationship also can buy situation. Example, Jonah. Their relationship with the man Jonah by condition and situation of lust into their life. His relationship with Abraham brought him wealth and prosperity. Second Samuel chapter 23, verse 15 up to 17. Look at what the Bible says. And David said with longing, watch this closely. David said with longing, oh, that somebody would give me a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem, which is at the gates. Next verse. Look at what happened next. A man just simply declared what he wished. There was battle going on. The enemy has besieged where the well is. And then the man said, oh, I wish that I would get a water that is at the well that at the gates of Bethlehem. Look at what happened next. So three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistine. They risked their life because of relationship. It didn't promise them gold. It didn't promise them silver. It didn't even say, I will give anything to that person. But it's their relationship with him was so important that they were ready to risk their life. Who can you call by 1 a.m. in the night and will leave his house just because you are in need? You know, we just pack people around ourselves. We are not strategic with relationship. Do you know that these folks you still call unbeliever, the only thing that they will suffer is that they will go to hell. But on this life, they have master relationship that they will never suffer. When there is scarcity of fuel, they ask somebody in the fleet station, they will call Alpha. The person will get them fuel. With your tongues, you will go and queue up. With your fire, you will queue up there. Because you don't understand the being strategic and mastering a mastery of the art called relationship. The job I do secularly give me the privilege and the opportunity to know this so well that you can literally stand in a place and command the whole world, and everything you need will come to you. While you are seated, you can call somebody, and before you close your eyes, a cow is tied in front of your house. Before you leave there, somebody else bring pepper. Somebody else bring something else. And before you stand up, people will just watch and they will come and donate. I remember there was a time there was first scarcity of recent in Ibadan. And there was a long queue. My car, the two cars with me were already pointing red. And I drove out just to see if I could get a car, get a fuel. The only place they were selling fuel around was... there was a long queue there. And the moment I got there, I saw that the name of the physician has changed now to the name of the person whom I have relationship with. Immediately there in that queue, I began to jubilate. I said, ah, this person owns it. And I called one of them and said, do you mean this station has been sold to this person? They said, yes. I just copied my phone. And literally in a matter of minutes, they fished me out of the long queue and sold fuel for me. The rest were shouting. They were complaining. Except for us, they said, no, order from above. Relationship is so powerful. Many have gotten admission, not because they have money, but because they have relationship. You are weak if you don't have men. You are weak. You are weak. You are weak. You are weak. So much more than prayer for money, pray for men. Lord, give me men. Lord, give me men. I understand this so well as a minister of the gospel. Ministry is so hard. How many things can you do? Imagine, I'm standing here preaching. I'll be the one to go there and press the system to make sure that my sound is well heard. I'll be the one to stand by the camera. Life is difficult. If God didn't give you the blessing of men. Listen to me. The greatest blessing you can be given is not things, it's men. Man. Number five, why relationship? This is so profound. The Lord himself told me this while I was preparing this message. And I want you to listen carefully and think about it. Are you ready now? The only channel through which God answers prayer is through relationship. That sounds like a blasphemy to me until I began to meditate on it. The only channel through which God answers prayer is by relationship. God will never come from heaven to give you what you need. Even if what you require is the anointing, somebody must be the conductor of that anointing to communicate it to you. In my young time in ministry, I have seen people travel. After travel, one of them traveled at a time and came here. And I said, where are you coming from? He said, Ekiti. I said, you have something else? He said, no, just to meet with you. Ah. It's not anointing. Can it be transferred by phone? No. Sometimes you need to meet men who are carriers of the things your life required. Look at Naaman. He was in leprosy until that lady said, I can connect you to someone that will end leprosy in your life. Naaman thought it was a joke. When Naaman had an encounter with Elijah, the prophecy that has been there for ages, spent money, spent power, went down just by meeting another man. The only way God answers prayer is through relationship. Believers, hear me. Don't live a difficult life. I know you fast and pray, but God will not come down as an angel. He will still send men. This is the undoing of so many of us. I tell my colleagues every time, do you know that that man standing before you that is wretched and look like a pauper might be the answer to your 5 years prayer? He's standing as a customer. Maybe he has even come to deposit 1,000 naira and you're looking and say, you are smelling everything. And that is the answer to the 7 years of your prayers on all the mountains of the world. Learn to discern men. Men are not just another human being. Men are carriers of possibilities. Yes, sir. Men are carriers of possibilities. If you can discern who a man is, you can take advantage of what God has invested in that man. Every man is multidimensional. I taught you last week. The same man that is a pastor can also be a doctor. That same man can also be an uncle to someone. The aspect of that man you honor is the aspect of that man you will enjoy. If all you receive me as is your elder brother, I love to say it again and again, I will not heal you as an elder brother. Elder brothers don't heal. I cannot speak over you and your life will change as an elder brother. Elder brother doesn't have that kind of power. But when you discern, no, you are my elder brother, but there is a hand of God on you that can change my life. So I come now, not as an elder brother. I have come to you as a man of God. Then the Bible says, whosoever received the prophet, in the name of the prophet, will receive the prophet reward. Receive the prophet as your elder brother, you will receive the elder brother's reward. Relationship. There are four types of relationship. But let me start tonight by taking us on maybe two. And then when we get to the part two, I'll touch on the other aspects. But no matter what relationship you have, this first kind of relationship I want to talk about, if you don't have it, you will still suffer. So right now, I want you to pray. Bow down your head and say, Lord, open my eyes again. Pray. Pray. It is the entrance of his word that brings light. Open my eyes. Somebody, while you are praying, God will begin to talk to you and say, this person, I've been telling you, stop moving with this person. This person has been trying to get your attention, but you have been rejecting it. Do you know that this person actually carries something you need in life? Pray tonight. Lord, open my eyes. You're the light of the world. You step down into my darkness. Please open my eyes. Let me see. You're the light of the world. You step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see.
pray, please. Pray. It's your private moment to talk to the Lord right now.
I want to know you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to live your days. I want to know.
Hallelujah. The first and the most important relationship that is worth dying for, that is worth living for, the first and the most important relationship. If you lose any other relationship, you may suffer, but the suffering will be temporal. But if you lose this relationship, you will suffer eternally. The number one relationship is called eternal relationship. This talks about your relationship with God. Your relationship with God is worth dying for. Listen carefully. Your relationship with God is worth giving up every other thing just to maintain. If you have kings, if you have politicians, if you have political affiliations, if you have business partners, if you have church members, and you lack this relationship, in a matter of time, you will transcend to a realm where every other relationship does not matter. You will get to a place where your wealth does not matter. You will get to a location where your political strength has no advantage at all. You will then know that the only thing that stands the test of time is your relationship with God. Hear me again and again. Your relationship with God is not only important on the earth. Your relationship with God determines where you will live even after the earth. Seated in this place and all over the world, there is nobody that is around now that was around 250 years ago. And there is nobody that is also around now that will be around 250 years to come. That means the time and the life that we spend on the earth is only temporal. It is wise and intelligent to seal a deal with the one that can help you maintain an eternal destination. Your relationship with God. There are three things. There are three things that your relationship with God will do for you. I bless the Lord. I've been taught by so many men, and amongst them that stand out is the man Apostle Joshua Selman. What an impact. I thank God that I met men in my life who did not only make me to look like them, but they refer me also to what matters. I know the priorities of life, sir. I love men, but God first. I understand that when God is not with you, it doesn't matter how many men you have around you. There are certain situations of your life that the help of men will fail. How do you help a notable celebrity who is dying in loneliness? How do you help the wealthy billionaire? His money can call people to come to him, but the cancer in his body cannot be paid for by money. Your relationship with God. Hear me again and again. Amongst the many things you are trying to know, the many connections you desire, make this one the paramount. If you don't begin your life with a relationship with God, in a couple of days, in a couple of months, when everything is said and done, the earth
will be folded like a carpet, and they will enter into a plane of life where your strength will only be in the relationship that you have with God. Hear me, believers. We are at the end of time. It's either he comes to meet us or we go to meet him. But in the two of them, you must establish a relationship with him. I know it's been a long time we had this in the church and in the body of Christ. All we have been made to think is get things from God. Get things from God and enjoy life. I am not against you getting things from God. But know that even Lazarus, that God called forth after he was dead for 4 days, Lazarus died again. No matter what miracle you get, no matter what signs and the wonders you get, if you don't get a relationship with him, you really lose her. Men may call you success. People may cheer you. A word may fill your plaques. But if you lack relationship with God, in a matter of time, you will see. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you tonight, no matter what you lack, if you have Jesus, you lack nothing. And no matter what you have, if you lack Jesus, you have nothing. Relationship with God. Your relationship with God, number one. Give me 1 Corinthians. God knows how important this is. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. God knows how important this is. God called us to himself. Look at what the Bible says. God is faithful, by whom we have been called. We were called into fellowship. God knows I have silver and gold. The camels upon the 1,000 hills belongs to me. But if that is all you get from me, you are cheated. Remember the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus was a poor man on the earth, suffering in pain, in rejection. The Bible says dog will come and lick the sores on his body. The rich man was eating in affluence. The rich man was eating in prosperity. The rich man had connections, as an advantage and a hedge. Everything he wanted was given to him. But the something happened that will always happen to both the poor and the rich. Listen, brothers and sisters, I don't mean to scare you tonight, but one day this life will end. We will get to a level in our lives at a time when this mouth will not be able to speak again. We will get to a time in our life where this hand, they will even pick the hand up. This is not a curse. This is what will happen to every one of us at a time. We are only believing that the Lord will keep us for his purpose on the earth. Because either we live, we are for him. Either we die, we are for him. The better you know this, the earlier you know this, the better it is for you. A time is coming. All of your loved ones and your connections, they will escort you to a place where they will say, bye-bye. My sweetheart, I love you, but there is something else that I cannot share with you. It's called death. Oh, I will do anything for you. Oh, call me anytime you need me. A time is coming. You will not be able to call them because there is nothing we can do. Look at our life. Look at our time. Look at our societies. There are certain people we saw yesterday. They are no more today. The question is not that they are no more on the earth. What you should always ask is, where are they now? Brothers and sisters, if you ever think like we end on the earth, you are a joker. The end of our time on the earth is only the beginning of another time that has no end. So we have a short time on the earth to prepare ourselves for a time that has no end. Over there, there is no difference between Nigerians and Canadians. There is no difference between British and Americans. We would all be in the same place. And the only thing that will matter is not what political party did you believe in. The only thing that will matter is not who are your connections on the earth. I'm the president of the nation. That will no longer exist there. The only thing that will matter is, did you have connection with the King of Glory? All kings on the earth will submit their crown, because their crown can only live on the earth. It does not have the ability to transcend to that realm I'm talking about. Is it not wise and intelligent to settle that time while you are still here? When you breathe the last breath, you don't have the chance again. Hear me, brothers and sisters. Nobody knows the time. What if today is the last day that you'll be on the earth? Apostle, don't talk like this. I am not going to die young. I say amen. But what if Jesus comes now? What happens to you? I will not go on another person's day. I have taught you the mystery of immortality. But I also told you that it is appointed for man to die but once. Hear me, believers. Amongst the many things you chase around, have you found God? Three things your relationship with God will do for you. Number one, your relationship with God secures your eternal destination. John chapter 3 from verse 16. We read to verse 18. Please give it volume for me, please. I'll make room for you. You alone, Jesus. Because you are all that matters. You are all that matters. Oh, hey, oh, hey. You are all that matters. Oh, hey, oh, hey. You are all that matters. Your relationship with God, brothers and sisters, secure your eternal destinations. No matter how much you like me, when I breathe the last breath, you will carry my body and dump into the grave, and you say bye bye. This is why nothing should come in between your relationship with God. Not family, not business, not brothers, not sisters. They don't want it. They will all end on the earth. Don't tell me I'm not serving God because my wife, because my brother, because the girlfriend. As long as you have breath, you are important to them. If you lose your breath now, you become useless to them. Have you seen how we treat our loved ones? The moment the doctor tells us sorry, we lost him. The next question you begin to ask your brethren is, when are we going to bury her? If we love people so much, should we be quick to talk about their being deposited in the earth? Should we not immortalize mama if we really love mama? How come the next thing we are discussing is how to throw mama into the pit, and life goes on? Now we left mama alone to face the consequences of the decision she made while on earth. If she made the right decision, good to her. If she made the wrong decision, it's an eternal damnation. Many are in hell right now, crying and pleading for another chance to come to the earth to remake the decision and the opportunity that you have now. But no opportunity is given to them. While you have this opportunity, brothers and sisters, make decision. Make this decision. Life does not worth so much, because life in itself is temporal. The Bible already told you that the world is passing away, and everything that you see in it. I'm not teaching you how to be irresponsible in life, but I'm telling you, I have seen billionaire dies. I have seen the president dies. I have seen the poor man on the street dies. There is one thing common to them all. It determines your eternal destination. John 3, beginning from verse 16. For God so loved the world. It's a very popular, you can recite it, but have you thought about it? My brother, have you thought about this scripture? He gave us his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Next verse. For God did not send his son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is my favorite scripture in this line. He said, he who believes in him is not condemned. Follow carefully, brothers and sisters. He who has made decision for a relationship with him is not condemned. But hear what the word is saying. the truth that is coming from the Lord of truth himself. He said, but he who does not believe, what happens to him? Is condemned already. No man is going to hell. If you are not born again, you are already in hell. Salvation is a rescue from hell back to life. Colossians 1 and verse 13. He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us to the kingdom of his dear son. If Jesus is not in your life, I don't care who you are living in hell. I'm not saying nominally be in your life. If you are not living your life to please him, when the trumpet sound, you will land in hell. Ask me if the pleasure of 5 minutes with that lady, what's your eternal destination? Ask me if your pleasure of 20 minutes with that guy and the things he has promised you, if it's what your eternal destination. Many people said they will give their life to Christ next week. They never knew that they would die this week. Many said when I come back from the trip and I will come and consider this salvation, they never know that they would not even make it to where they are going on the trip. Now that you have the opportunity, make the decision. Everyone in hell now believe in Jesus. Only that it is too late for them. Listen, brothers and sisters. Everyone in hell now, they don't need anybody to preach to them about Jesus again. They believe, even those who make noise on the earth, those who fought everybody, those who condemn every preacher, those who spoke against the gospel. Now that they are in hell, they all believe in Jesus. But there was no opportunity for them. There is no opportunity for them to come back and say, I was wrong. Learn before it's too late. The exorbitance of life will soon end. Learn before it's too late. The pleasures of life will soon end. Learn before it's too late. Your relationship with God, number two, is the guarantee for your exploit in life. So don't think that, okay, does that mean when I give my life to Jesus, when I have this working relationship with the Lord, I will not live a poor and a weak life on the earth? No, sir. No, sir. Daniel 11 and verse 32, the B part of it says that they that do know their God shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Your relationship with God is the guarantees for your exploit on the earth. Psalm 18 and verse 29. I need you to flag this scripture quickly, please. Life givers, help me. Psalm 18 and verse 29. It's projected with a loud voice. Can you read it for me now? 1, 2, go. Read it again. 1, 2, read. So coming to a relationship with God does not end you in mediocrity. Listen carefully. If the only things and the only reason why I said come and receive Jesus is because of bread and butter that he will give to you, I'm shortchanging you. I must tell you first the most important reason why you should have a relationship with him. And that talks about your eternal life. The way, the place you will stay with no end. But even at that, relationship with God has an advantage on the earth. Exploit in life is only possible by a relationship with God. David said, by you I can run over a trip, by my God I can do exploits. Paraphrasing the scripture now. You don't come to God and become weak. They that do know their God shall be strong. Strength in business is available in God. Strength in finance is available in God. Strength in ministry is available in God. Strength in family is available in God. Whatever God cannot give you, don't try to get it by strength. It will fail you. Relationship with God. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. When you hold my hands, everything becomes possible. When God holds my hands, impossible becomes possible. Who am I? that I will lay hands on the sick here and you'll watch miracle. That can only be possible when God holds your hand. Who am I that I will say, in the name of Jesus, I command a turnaround in your life, and you will come back literally in weeks and say, sir, this has happened. I am a man, but not an ordinary man. A man with God. With God. With God. I walk conscious of my association with God. I walk conscious of that advantage with God. With God, all things are possible. With me, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Give me that scripture, Philippians chapter 4. Popular scripture in the body of Christ. And verse 13. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things, the scripture says, through Christ that strengthens me. Your relationship with God is an advantage, sir. Hear me, brothers and sisters. Your relationship with God is an advantage. Supernatural things are made possible when you are in relationship with God. Have you not seen people in the world, by their fraternity with witchcraft spirit, they walk with confidence, they speak over their businesses, they do all manner of things, and they get temporal results? Don't let them make you feel weak. Your relationship with God has an advantage that cannot be compared with any other advantage. Exploit is possible when you have a relationship with God. Student, hear this. It is not only DYDS. Let there be the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost partner with you, it can reveal to you the question the teacher is setting in the secret place. And say, you read chapter 2, chapter 4, and chapter 6. I'm telling you the story of my life. You don't have to labor when the Holy Ghost is with you. The labors of fool wearies them. But when the Holy Ghost is present, they will tell you where to go, who to meet. Other people will see an opportunity of investment. They will tell you, don't move. They will all move and it will make sense until they now begin to crash. And they will ask you, how come you don't join us in this thing? They will say, no, my partner said. Were you told that you have an invisible partner that is more powerful than any other person you can see on the earth? It's called the Holy Ghost. You are never alone. By him, you can do the impossible. Your relationship with God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Amplify, please. It said, be finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See how Amplify presents it. It said, 6:10. In conclusion, look at what he said. Be strong in the Lord. Look at what he says. Be empowered through your union with him. Your empowerment is as a result of your union. Don't look at me as frail. I am 10 times, 1,000 times bigger than this on the inside. Don't be carried away by what you see. This is not all that it is. I have seen many macho men with six packs oppressed and tormented by demon. I have seen many rich men tormented by demon. But I've never seen any man that walk with God that is oppressed by demon. Now, when God is with you, you are more than a nation. The only credential Joseph had, going through all of those experiences he had, prison, slavery, and finally to palace, Bible says, and God was with him. May that be said about you, that you are not just doing business like others. You are not just a student like others. You are not just looking for a job like others. You are not just working like others. That there is a hand that works with you. There is a hand that works with you. And the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah, and he outran Ahab unto Jezreel. When the hand of the Lord rests upon a man, impossible becomes nothing. Hear me, brothers and sisters. Before you seek the connections of men, have you seek the connection of the Almighty? Because all men may be mighty, but there is only one Almighty. When the strength of man ends, do you have the one that can take it over? I know I will never live a life of pain. I know I will never live a life of poverty. I know that I will never live a life of rejection. These are not mere connections. These are not mere confessions. I have connections with the one that will make sure my life is ever forward and upward. Don't make confession with me if you don't have the connection that I have. One day in my walk with him, I said, Lord, I have seen what Abraham called you, what Isaac called you. What will I call you to my generation? He said, I am your advantage. That is the word, the name he gave me as a result of my walk with him. And if you know my background and the things I've gone through in life, you will know that the only person that can pick a man from the trash and put him on the platform on the pedestal of greatness, global greatness, is him. Is my advantage. Not our advantage. Is my advantage. He said, the Lord whom I serve, Paul the apostle bragging, the Lord whom I serve will preserve your lives here. Abraham said, may my God go with you as he goes to look for a wife for my son. And when the servant came, he said, your God gave me good speed. Men have God though. Not all men are normal. Not all men are natural. I can send something with you. You go for that interview. Come back with testimony. It's not an advice. No. It's a derivative of my covenant and my walk with him. I didn't pick it by the road. By his mercy, he brought me into that level. Do you have relationship with God? If a witch look at you and say, in 3 days, I'll make sure you are dead. What will you do? You will kneel down and beg him. You will call men that you know. You can't arrest a witch. But there is a power that can, that you can be connected to. And while he's saying, he said, your own will happen in 3 days. Father, let this lady know that you are my God. And while you are standing there, you watch wonders and miracles that erupted immediately. Believers, we are not weak. We are only as weak as our dissociation and disconnection with our God. We have been taught that it's ATM. Come and collect things from him like you go to the ATM machine. Oh, I need money. I collect. There is something that makes me come into you. And you come and collect and go. No. It's not looking for collection. It's looking for connections. He wants men that will be connected. Whatever you will collect, let it flow from your connection. Let it flow from your connection. Everything is available when you establish the right connection. Hear me, brothers and sisters. What is pain to you is not pain to God. What is limitation to you is not limitation to God. Your problem is relative to you alone. Creator of the universe, what can't you do? What can't you do, Jesus? You are the name above every other name. And what can't you do? And what can't you do, Jesus? You are able, great and mighty God. I'm going to stop tonight. The third benefit of your relationship with God. Don't forget this thing as long as you live. When you meet a man that is on his dying bed, you will not say, here are your checks, keep it very well so that people will not take it. Checks will not matter anymore. When you meet a man on his dying bed, you will not say, protect your phone so that they will not log into your internet banking. No. Your excellency, when he's on his day in bed, does not matter anymore. If they said he's a young boy that can heal him and bring him back to life, they will open every part of his body and say, touch anywhere, just make sure I live. But when you meet a man that is on his dying bed, there is something you can give that man. And even if that man dies, you can still stand there rejoicing and laughing. When you meet a dying man, don't give him money, give him Jesus. When you give him Jesus, even though he might not be healed from that sickness, but you can watch him and know that in a matter of time, you will soon meet again. You will soon meet again. You will soon meet again. And when you give your life to Jesus, what was difficult for others, by the backing of your person you are associated with, becomes easy. I will not leave you comfortless, Jesus said to us. I will send you another helper. go and listen to our messages on YouTube. I took time to talk about the function and the ability and the assignment of this helper in one of those messages. Another helper, meaning another standby, another advocate. When your voice cannot be heard, they can stand there and say, no, he's my son. You can't do this about him. When men had written you off, they had written the contract off. They wanted to give it to you before, but somebody came with political power. And while they are about to give you to that person, your advocate can stand and say, no, that one is connected to the president. I am the King of Kings. Give it to this person. Number three, benefit of your connection with God. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. My people, you are silenced tonight. I believe God is doing a work in our lives. Romans 5 and verse 1. Look at what the Bible says. Therefore, being justified by faith. Read with last night with me. 1, 2, go. The next benefit of your connection with God is peace and fulfillment. Hear me again and again. You may not know the words of peace now, because you still have a lot of desires. The peace you have now, billionaires are ready to pay billions just to get it. Is it not amazing how somebody who has 2 billion followers will commit suicide out of loneliness? Celebrities, the people you eye and you wish to be like, if you hear them, they will tell you how lonely they are. I had one of them one day in an interview. She said, why the whole world was celebrating me, why the whole world was cheering me, I was dying of loneliness. That's a celeb. Somebody you want to be like. You eye the person. Oh, 2 million followers. Oh, 5 million followers. And this person with the multitude of followers is dying, or she's dying of loneliness. If fame equals peace, why are the famous committing suicide? If fame equals fulfillment, why are the popular dying like chicken? There is one of them I remember many times, and it brings sorrow to my heart. The man Michael Jackson, with all of the connections with kings, with queens, with presidents, how will you die that kind of death? Listen to me, sir. The only peace that lasts is available in Christ. Money will not bring you peace. Connections will not bring you peace. Business will not bring you peace. The only peace that lasts is available in Christ. Marriage will not bring you peace. With the hope that when I finally get married, I will find peace. It's a lie, sir. When I finally get 100 million naira in my account, I can buy anything I want. I will have peace. It's a lie, sir. When I finally travel abroad, over there is peace and security. It's a lie, sir. The Bible says the whole world lies in wickedness. The whole world, not Nigeria. The whole world. But there is a place. It's called the name of the Lord. He says it's a strong tower. That's the only place you can run into and you are saved. They that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, they abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You may not have money in your pocket, but when you have Jesus in your life, find rest. Find rest. Find rest. Find rest. Find rest. Peace and fulfillment. Peace and true joy is only available in Christ. Money will not buy this. Ask those who are the hem of affair in the government house now. They will tell you, let me put down this presidency. Our president said something like a couple of weeks ago. He said, I can't wait to go back to my hometown. That's the presidency he tried to get 4 times and was crying at the point when he couldn't get it. Now he has gotten it for 8 years. He said, I can't wait to put it down. The things you desire now that look as though there is peace in them in you, when you finally get them, you discover nothing in himself was designed to have peace. You hide marriage. Now that you are married, there is something else you will begin to hide. You hide money. Now that you have money, there is something else you will begin to hide. You hide admission. Now that you have the admission, you eye to graduate. Now that you have graduated, every time you see NYSC uniform, you wish that one day you will wear it. Now that you are wearing it, do you have peace? Only Christ has peace. Only Him is peace. Final scripture, John 14 and verse 27. We're going to pray tonight. John 14 and verse 27. Hear what He said to us believers. I want you to read it with a loud voice. 1, 2, go. Again. Go on, sir. Hear me, brothers and sisters. No president can give you peace. No, this person is what we want. We don't want this person. Either this or this person. We want this, we want that. When they come, you will discover it is not in the ability of a man to give another man peace. There is only one person that sits in the office that can give you peace. His name is the Prince of Peace. It's not going to fetch that peace from any other place. It's the Prince of Peace. His throne is the throne of peace. His words is the word of peace. Everything about Him communicate peace. If you don't have Him, you don't have peace. Hear me again and again. You may have security. Security does not equal peace. You may have money. Money does not equal peace. The only place where true peace exists is in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. In Christ. He is my strength, my joy. In Christ alone, my hope is found. If you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life tonight, I'll give you the opportunity very soon. If you have made Him the Lord of your life, even if you are in the midst of the storm right now, the only thing you should find out is Jesus with me. It didn't say there is no storm. It didn't say tribulation will not come. It said in the world you will see tribulations. He said, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So find out if Jesus is with you. If Jesus is with you, even in this storm, find rest. Don't think yourself into hypertension. Whatever you don't have now, if you have Christ, will be abundance very soon. Don't let the world intimidate you with their achievements. Don't get into wrong things. Don't get into wrong living. Don't let anybody tell you that this Jesus thing is failing you and is falling your hand. In a matter of time, the wickedness of the wicked will catch up with them. He said, don't envy the unrighteous men when they flourish and prosper, for they will be destroyed by their flourishing and their prosperity. It is the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and hideth no sorrow. Other people may make rich, but they have many sorrows. Find rest tonight, brothers and sisters. I know this is not where you desire to be, but do you have Jesus here with you? He's the Prince of Peace. He was in the boat with His disciple, yet there was storm and there was a raging sea. Guess what He did when He rose up? He didn't say power. He didn't say holy. He said peace. Be still. Peace is in Him. And if it's in you, it can come any storm. Peace. Rise up tonight. Let's pray. Before we pray, I am going to give you an opportunity. Now, this is not a case of I'm going to church, I'm not going to church. I belong to this department in my church. I don't belong to that department. I honor all of those things. But that's not what I'm talking about tonight. This is not some spooky altar call they do just because, okay, I come outside and I make... No, that's not it, sir. Many of us have answered altar calls, but we don't have relationship with the God of the altar. So I'm calling you to a relationship. I'm not saying come and declare, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, and that's it. No, sir. I'm calling you to a relationship. Because this is what matters in time and when the time is no more. Wherever you are, you want to make Jesus your Lord. You want to have relationship, working relationship, online, following us from all the nations of the world. And those who are standing here tonight, or somebody listening or watching this message right now, it is time for you to start a relationship with Jesus. You can't live life without Him. What if time ends now? You can't exist in a good place in eternity without Him. Wherever you are, lift up your right hand. I want to pray with you. I want to begin a relationship with Jesus. You can hear this and while it away, time will tell you that you lost a juicy opportunity. Or you can hear this and make decision. The rich man did not go to hell because he was rich. The rich man went to hell because he did not have relationship with God. Abraham was rich, yet Abraham was in heaven. So it's not about that. If I'm poor, I will go to heaven. It's Elisha. There are many poor people right now in hell. But there is only one thing that decides where you go. Lift up your right hand wherever you are. And let me connect you back to a relationship that matters most. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight, I hear your voice of love calling me to a relationship. And I say yes to your call tonight. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. I confess with my mouth that you are the Lord of my life. And you were raised from the dead for my sake. I accept you as my Lord, my Savior. I hand my life over to you to lead me, to guide me, and to train me. I will live for you and for you alone. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare I am born again. I'm a child of God. I reject Satan and the works of darkness. In the name of Jesus. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer, congratulations to you. Congratulations if you have prayed that prayer. You can go to our website. There are messages available there for you to grow your Christian walk. One of them that we recommend to you quickly is spiritual checkup and also the mystery of salvation. These messages will teach you how to walk with the Lord. May the Lord bless you. Let's pray together as a family. We're going to be praying and say, Lord, every wrong relationship in my life, I end it now. I end it now. I don't need to whine you. Pray. It's just 1 minute. We are done already. I end every wrong relationship in my life. Every relationship that is as a result, that is resulting to my stagnation. Relationship resulting to my frustration. Every Jonah in the boat of my life, I disconnect with them now. Pray. It may be relationship with an association. It may be relationship with a company. Every wrong company, wrong association that is causing my retrogression and my stagnation, I disconnect tonight. I disconnect in the name of Jesus. I disconnect tonight. Let there be a permanent separation. Every acorn in my life causing me to lose, causing me to fall in battles, I declare tonight an end has come to their existence. Pray. 30 more seconds. Pray. Hallelujah. You are going to pray this prayer. Every relationship my destiny requires to advance, by your mercy, connect me tonight. Every relationship that my destiny requires to advance, human relationship, I declare tonight, by your mercy, bring them to me. Every man that I need, every system that I lead, every relationship that my destiny requires. My relationship with God,
my relationship with men, my relationship with systems and structures. Pray, pray. Bring to me relationship that will advance my ministry. Bring to me relationship that will advance my marriage. Bring to me, Lord, relationship that will advance my finances. By your mercy, by your mercy, bring me to divine connection with the ministry of destiny helpers. Bring me to divine connections with the ministry of men that matters. Lift up your voice and pray. You have just one more minute to pray. Kapelia Palakadoske. Hallelujah. Our time is fast spent, but please pray this prayer. David came at a time in his life and he called. He said, is there anyone in the family of Saul that I may show gladness and goodness to him for the sake of Jonathan? And they went and fetched a man called Mephibosheth. And because of Mephibosheth, David began to favor the man called because of Jonathan, David began to favor the man called Mephibosheth. You are going to pray. Every destiny helper you sent to me that has forgotten me, let there be a remembrance now. Let there be a remembrance now. Everyone you sent to me, everyone I once helped, everyone I once assisted, that has forgotten me and they are in the position to help me, Lord, let there be a remembrance. King could not sleep and he said, bring the scroll. And he asked, what did we do to the man called Mordecai when he did goodness to the king? And the Bible says Mordecai was remembered and he was honored. Everyone sent to me that has forgotten me, remember me tonight for lifting. Pray, 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 pray. Our time is fast spent, but pray. Pray. Everyone I have assisted before in the past, everyone I have helped before in the past, everyone my family member has helped, my mother has helped, my father has helped, who are in a position to help me now, in a position to lift me now, but has forgotten and abandoned me, let there be a remembrance tonight. Please pray this prayer very well. I know what I'm seeing. Many of you will come and share testimony on this prayer. You will get calls from those who have forgotten you. They will come back and favor you. Please pray. Please pray. I know what I'm seeing. That's why I'm taking extra time to have you pray. Every manipulation to my destiny relationship, I destroy them tonight. You are still praying. Every spirit that manipulates my relationship, relationship that should help me, relationship that should lead me, manipulated by devils, I declare them destroyed tonight. I stop the activities of darkness on the part of my relationship. Every spirit that manipulates advantageous relationship in my life, I stop that spirit now. Please pray. Please pray. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. In 1 minute, Lord, my relationship with you will grow stronger and stronger. I vow tonight, my relationship with you will grow stronger and stronger. Lift up your voice and declare in 1 minute. I won't trade you for silver or gold. I won't trade you for riches untold. My relationship with you will be stronger and stronger. I will pray more. I will study the word more. I will witness to Jesus more. I will live for you more. Hallelujah. I decree over you tonight as an oracle of God that every relationship that your destiny requires to advance, I bring you to the midst of them this week in the name of Jesus. As the new week begins tomorrow, on your phone, by text message, by WhatsApp chat, by mail, I decree such connections that will change your story overnight, I bring them your ways in the name of Jesus. I bring them your ways in the name of Jesus. The call that will change your story. The message that will change your story. Receive them now in the name of Jesus. Every Achan in your life, every Jonah in your life, tonight I declare permanent separations in the name of Jesus. And I pray for your spiritual life. You will go altar and altar for Jesus in the name of Jesus. The Lord will keep you. Upon your prayer altar, let there be fire. I say your prayer altar receive fire again. Your fasting altar receive fire again. Your word study life come back alive again. In the name of Jesus. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his face shine on you. And be gracious unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
We believe that you've been greatly imparted. To get more updates about the movement and to download our messages, visit www.ariseshinechristiannetwork.com.
Also, you can join us on our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Telegram, and MixLR at Arise SCM.
Or you can also reach us on WhatsApp or call us on 0705314-5157. Keep shining.
The king.